Hi, everybody. I'm Sharon. I'm a compulsive eater and bulimic.
Hi, Sharon.
And I have pictures that are going around, and it was really okay. So I am really nervous.
She
right. Yeah. No, I want to say the set aside prayer actually. So if you don't know it, just hum along. God. Please help me set aside everything I think I know about myself, my disease, these steps, and especially you, for an open mind and a new experience with myself, my disease, these steps, and especially you. Thy will not mine be done. Amen. So, you know, who am I to stand up here and talk about body image? I mean, I am a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic, and I get to be recovered. I am recovered, and I get to be recovered one day at a time as long as I do my daily treatment. That's the truth. And I found that out after my last relapse. So I'll qualify. I've been in OA about 16 and a half years. I've been in OA house since 2001. I've let go of 65 pounds since 2001, and I, well, about, because I don't even know how much I weighed at my top weight. And I sponsor, and I am sponsored. And I have peace most days. I have peace most days about my food, about my body, about my weight. It's hard to stand here and talk about this. It is, that's the truth. So so my pictures, I don't have any, I hardly have any baby picture, childhood pictures. I have one baby picture, I have two baby pictures. One of them is in the book that's going around, and it's of my twin brother and me when we were 1 year old, and we are so darling. And I have this look of curiosity, like I'm looking at that camera, and I lost that. I lost that for most of my life. I don't know how I found those pictures because I have no other pictures. My family fell apart when I was 17. I mean, it was falling apart, but it really fell apart when I was 17. And in high school, I was my senior year, and my mother ran off with a guy, and my father started living with a woman that he worked with, and they thought we were raised. My twin brother was having a wild affair with one of the teachers at school, so he was living with her, and I was living in our house that was being foreclosed, and just going to school every day, pretending like everything was okay. I was a cheerleader, I played sports, no one knew. And it was so dark. All I wanted to do was go to college, and I just didn't know how that was going to happen. And, you know, God was there. Through all of that, God was there. So my eating disorder didn't really take off until I was an adult. I mean, I was always it started early, but it really didn't take off until I was an adult. When I was in college, I started really overeating. I started throwing up, and I started over-exercising. And it just got progressively worse over time. And although I had, I had a good life, but I was missing a lot of it. I was living a half life, and that got worse as the disease progressed. And I got married in 1985. I worked at a high-powered job for a long time. I was also a workaholic, and I started having kids. I had two sons. I continued to work full-time. I drove myself really hard at work, and my husband traveled, and I was raising my sons, who I adored, and it was just getting worse and worse. And so I have pictures that show when I came to OA in 1993, and I think I weighed about 200 pounds. And I continued in OA for 8 years, going to meetings when I could, you know, once a week when I could, and half the time they were partial meetings because I would run from work to try to get there and have to be home because of little kids and just all that. It was hard. And so I didn't really have a sponsor. I didn't really work the steps. I went to a meeting. Half measures avail us something. Maybe not nothing, but it wasn't much. And I just got worse and worse in my disease. What else do I want to tell you? The other thing is that I have 5 minutes left.
No.
Okay. Good. When I was growing up in this town in Pennsylvania, my family, you'll see the pictures. The Greater Ford picture is the picture of my grandmother and grandfather's hotel, the Perky Omen View Hotel, and our house was next door. And my grandmother was the local bookie in town. It was totally illegal to take bets on horses, and she was a compulsive gambler. And you know, my family were gamblers and compulsive drinkers, alcoholics, and my mother was a compulsive eater. She locked up food, and I suffered from a lot of physical violence, abuse, and neglect. And then they finally left, which was actually a good thing because after I finished high school, I went to live with a minister in town and his wife. And he had gone to Harvard, and she had gone to Bates, and they helped me figure out how to go to school. I mean, it was God. It was God. And they're still in my life. They adopted me and my brother. And I have an older brother. Well, my twin brother is a practicing alcoholic who I pray for every day. And my older brother, who was raised by my grandparents at the hotel, which I have no reason I don't know why that happened. I don't know. Didn't everybody do that? But he's in prison for murder. So I'm the lucky one. I'm the lucky one. And I am, you know, because I found OA. And so, so I needed a lot of help. I needed a lot of help, and I can hardly ask for help now. Like, I asked Jenny to sit here because I just needed somebody to look at. That was really hard to do. So, you know what? In 2001, I had a very bad relapse. I was thrown up many times a day. I was binging my head off. I was drinking alcohol. I was not functioning. And I made my way to OA how? I mean, there's a long story there, but the bottom line is that I made my way. I think my higher power dragged my ass, actually. It's not like it was like this prancing through the grass. I made my way, I trudged my way toward OA how. By getting a food plan that really worked for me, I put down the trigger foods that were, you know, in the doctor's opinion in the big book, triggering the compulsion to use. So I stopped the phenomenon of craving, and then I only had the obsession of the mind to deal with, right? So I had 4 years of back-to-back how abstinence, and I thought, you know, as Wes says, high five, God, I got it, you know. And I started letting go of things, and before I knew it, I was back in the food. So on January 1st of this year, I had 2 years of back-to-back how abstinence, and I'm really grateful for that. It's God. It's God and the program and all of you. And the pictures that are going around don't have any of the pictures of me in relapse, because I gained back about 40 of my pounds, 40 of the 65. But anyway, okay, so the most important things I wanted to say about body image is that it's not about the food, it's not about the weight, and it's not about body image, because those are all obsessions of the mind. Those are all ways that I, in my twisted thinking, I get twisted up and get the compulsion going in my head, and it's ways to avoid life. That's the bottom line. So when I am all twisted up about how big my hips are, it is not about my hips. It's lack of acceptance. Okay, I am who I am right now, and all I have to keep doing is following my food plan and doing this program of recovery, doing my daily treatment. Because when I start thinking about my weight or my, you know, what my body looks like, I start spinning. You know, it's the Energizer Bunny thing. You know, it's like that obsession starts going, and I keep circling. And now I still get twisted up about it, but most days I don't. And when I am, when I am following my food plan and working my program of recovery, and when it's not very stressful, I'm fine. I like my body. I like who I am. I like my weight. I accept. And I used to hate. I was disgusted by myself. I loathed myself. And I couldn't stand my body. I couldn't stand myself. And the weird thing is that, like, I always had a little backwards. I never felt like I was always a little different than other people in OA, because when you look at those fat pictures, I was pretty fat. But at the time, I didn't see it. I knew it was there, and I could see it sometimes, but most of the time, I felt like I was this thin, healthy weight person. And I talked to someone I really respect and adore, who knows a lot about eating disorders, and she said, oh, well, so this is just my experience, but she said, Sharon, clinically speaking, you know, she said, if the onset of the eating disorder is as an adult, you see, and if you were healthy weight up until that point, you see yourself as a healthy weight person. You don't see the fat. If your eating disorder, if the onset was in childhood and you were a heavy child, you always see yourself as fat then. It's a distortion. There's nothing rational about it. And so do I have five left, or is that it?
Left.
Oh, good. I had all these cards and I haven't even looked at them, which is a good thing. Let's see, okay, so I always saw myself as kind of thin. And when I was heavy, and I'm going to stop saying fat, because it's abusive. You know, when I was overweight, I would walk past a window or something, and I'd see my reflection, and it was like, who is that? What is that? Who is that? And it's like, oh my God, that's me. It's like I didn't get that was me. Even now, I can't see myself in reality, because there's, you know, there's a word, I think it's dysmorphia or something. There's a, you know, we just can't, it's not, we can't, there's something wrong, you know, it's distorted, period. So there are three things I for sure wanted to say, and I put them in yellow. So I said that one. So what I wanted to really say is that if I'm focused on body image or my weight, it's about avoidance. It's the disease. And it's the same thing like the with the food thing. Like if I would eat off my food plan and I'd binge, I would feel disgust and loathing, you know, maybe not right away, but shortly after. And then I would have this, I would obsess about, am I going to tell my sponsor? Oh, no, I don't really need, you know, so then I'd obsess about that until the next morning when I would be like, what I learned in my relapse was that I absolutely had to be honest about my food with my sponsor. If I didn't, I was going to go down the drain. So I'm always honest around my food with my sponsor now. Even if I go through that head trip at the beginning, if I eat off my food plan and I'll say, oh no, it was just, you know, I rationalize something, try to rationalize it or minimize it. I tell my sponsor the next day or I write it in my email to her. And the important thing about that is, when I wasn't in recovery and when I didn't have a sponsor that I did this with, I got that cycle going again, and then I would feel disgust and loathing about my eating disorder, about eating, about my body. I would get it going and it would spin for days. And then I would continue to go down. So it's stopping it. It's stopping that. There's something else I wanted to say. Here it is. So body image is about when I'm focused on my body or my weight or my food, it's about avoidance. If I'm thinking about my body or my weight, I don't have to think about what is really going on. The fact that I'm lonely, the fact that I'm scared about money, the fact that I yelled at my husband or my son, you know, or that I'm scared about trying to find work. It distracts me from the real issues in my life. It's a big fat distraction, and that's what that food did too. I overate, I started feeling really bad, and it was a big fat distraction that took me away from all of the things that were difficult. So this is about becoming an adult and growing up, and now when my head starts to spin around my body or my weight or my food, I face into what I do some writing usually. Well, I never wrote. 2 years ago, I didn't write. Forget that. But you know what? I face into it and I write a daily 10th step. And usually I can get more information about like what is really going on and what I need to focus on. And a lot of times too, doing service will help me too, getting out of myself. But if I'm in that space, I can't. You know, sometimes I can call somebody and sometimes I can't, to do service, not to bitch and moan. Because the way out is through the program. It's through staying connected with my higher power. It's having my feelings and not avoiding them. It's facing into my issues. It's realizing I made a mistake and I need to make an amends. Or it's taking an action that I've been afraid to take. And so I am recovered. I am recovered. And the deal is I only get to be recovered one day at a time. And I still have a lot of issues. I'm in process around this. And I guess I always will be. And so I just accept today that this is like my body, and it's where I am today. And it's good enough. More will be coming. More of the good stuff will be coming if I can stay in my life and in my program. So this is an important issue. And I hope you heard something that helps. Thanks. Thank you.